Chip, with three games in, I guess, 11 days, did you change anything as far as getting them off their feet more in shorter practices, anything like that?
Yeah, we obviously had to make an adjustment this week. When you play a game on Sunday and you got to come back and play a game on Thursday, that's the one that really adjusts your schedule. Just because you only really got three training days. You got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then you got to go play a game. So we've adjusted the schedule. We were out yesterday. We'll never be out. No one is out on the practice field, training the day after a game, but we had to yesterday. Now we're trying to get into 2 days before the game mode. Tomorrow's day before the game mode, and then we got to go play. So we did adjust the schedule, but we knew it before the season started. So, and when you look at Kansas City, they're the same way. They went Sunday, Sunday, Thursday. We just went Monday, Sunday, Thursday. So we had an 11-day deal. They got a 12-day deal. So.
How about the game planning? Was there any work done prior to this week to put a game plan?
Everything was broken down, and we immediately came after the Chargers game. We came back to work that night. So our entire staff here was pretty late on Sunday night putting the game plan together. It's kind of tough to game plan itself because you kind of get a lot of thoughts going around in your head of, are you game planning for the Chargers? Or you get that in down, now all of a sudden we're starting to game plan for the Chiefs, but we haven't played the Chargers game yet. So our plan originally, and we stuck to it, was we immediately after the Chargers game came back to work on Sunday night. So
what a couple of your cornerbacks were talking about, the relationship between a corner and a safety and knowing his tendencies and getting comfortable with him, whether he's vocal or not. You obviously are rotating Earl and Nate, which makes it difficult sometimes for the corners to get adjusted to each one. So do you think that might be impacting your defense at all in a negative way or hurting?
Well, I think it impacts everybody because we have all new starters everywhere. The only guys that played last year were D'Amico and Kendricks and Fletcher Cox and Trent Cole, and Trent's playing a new position. So, with the whole new staff coming in, it's going to be different. Kerry wasn't here last year. Kerry was with Baltimore. Pat Chung was with New England. So, when you have a transition, there are growing pains, and again, it's a change from a system, from a wide 9-4-3 to moving to a 3-4, and it's a change in personnel, and that's always going to happen. So, the only way you could not change it is if we kept every player that was on last year's team and ran last year's defense. So,
do you think by some point in the season you will have one of those guys, whether it's either Earl or Nate, just playing at least 75% of the snaps?
I don't predict the future. It's all up to them and how they play. One guy runs away with it, continues to make plays, and they'll continue to be on the field. But if we're not getting the production we need out of that position, to do it just for the sake of continuity sense doesn't make sense to us.
In terms of tempo, Jeff, the between play mechanics, did you see what you wanted in this last game compared to the first game?
Yeah.
Other than calling the play, what's your communication with Mike throughout the course of the game in the headset?
In the headset? It's really just calling the play.
Nothing about what the defense looks like or you stay out of his way.
Because the defense isn't set up yet. So, I'm not going to predict what I think they're going to have. I'm calling the play and we're getting lined up. So it's not, hey, Mike, I think they're going to be, watch out for cover one, cover two, cover man. They may blitz, they may not blitz. I think you just, I can't warn them about everything. So I think, if you get into that, because they're not deployed, they haven't lined up yet, and we're trying to get our play in and let Mike get set. He has a pre-snap routine that him and Coach Laser work on all the time that Mike goes through and, locating the safeties and where we're going with things. So there's not a whole heck of a lot of communication except for what the play is.
Who's your challenge guy?
Pat Shermer.
Jim, the one way Andy Reid helped you become more incorporated into the NFL in terms of talking to him, what advice has he been able to give you?
He hasn't given me any. I talked to Andy when I got the job, and he said to be yourself. I told him I had big shoes to fill, and he said, you'll do a good job. That was it.
You use most of the defensive secondary's issues has come down to Nate Allen. Is that unfair to Nate in terms of pointing at one guy and saying, hey, it's not because of this guy?
Oh, definitely. Pass defense is 11 guys. It's a pass rush. It's everybody being where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. So it's totally a team game, and it's never isolated on one individual player. So I know as a coaching staff, we're not that way. I know as a team, we're not that way. So
mostly 11 personnel in your first two games. What's kind of dictated that?
How defenses defend you? It's a good question. A lot of time when you get to, in the Redskins game and in some of the games, if you go to 11, then they're in nickel. And so a lot of times it becomes a match game. What matchups do you want to be in? What matchups, do you think are more favorable to you? And that's really, you're kind of looking at how people try to defend different formations and different sets to try to get tendencies in terms of how they're going to, deploy their personnel. So sometimes you, by your personnel, can at least dictate what's going to be in the game. And I think that a lot goes into that thought process.
At the same time, has that kind of surprised you in, like, the first two games? You know, they've pretty much shown you the same – defense has shown you kind of the same formations as far as –
They haven't. No, the Chargers were different than what the Redskins do.
Still kind of, like, went more with the three wide receivers than, you know.
Yeah, but it's not because they were similar in what they did. It's just what we could elicit from them, so.
From a decision-making standpoint, strictly, how would you evaluate Mike?
I think Mike's done a really nice job. You know, he's protected the football for us, got the ball out on time. You know, we've had the ability, I think, because we could protect, take some more shots down the field, and he's done a really good job at distributing the ball. You know, I think we're at a pretty high completion percentage right now. I'm sure he'd want a couple throws back. You know, there's a few times where we could have been a little bit more accurate, but I think overall in two games I'm happy where Mike is.
Do you have any sort of advantage this week because Andy knows the personnel here so well?
I would think anybody that understands personnel. I mean, Andy was here for a long time with those guys, so if you know what they're good at, but he doesn't know our scheme, you know, so how we deploy those guys. So, you know, he may have some little ins and outs. I think it's just there's a familiarity. Obviously, he's familiar with Trent. He's familiar with D'Amico. You know, he's familiar with those guys, but the scheme defensively has changed. The scheme offensively has changed. The scheme special teams has changed. So I think from maybe just how fast a guy is or to – some of those things from a physical standpoint, I know he's probably got a real intimate knowledge of the guys on this team.
From your standpoint, because that time is squeezed down this week, is it important to kind of keep in the back of your head, maybe we should simplify, maybe we shouldn't overload these guys mentally because they only have 2-3 days to absorb all of it?
You overloaded me with that question.
Is this a week to simplify with all of your guys?
We don't look at it as simplify. We always try to put in a game plan. I know as a staff, we don't say, hey, we got a couple extra days. Let's put in more stuff. You know, we have an exact plan of what we're going to put in for the red zone, what we're going to put in. And we're always doing the same thing. And I think one thing you do is if we're going to add, then we're going to subtract. So we don't just keep piling it on. So we ran these plays in the red zones versus the Redskins, and then we ran these versus the Chargers, and now we ran these versus the Chiefs. You know, it's dialed back up. So we always have a scope of our offense that's available to us on a weekly basis. So when we do add, we do subtract. But you know, it wasn't a conscious, hey, let's keep this simplified this week. But it's the same every week. We want to make sure when we get to the game that our players understand when we're calling XYZ 27 that they all understand what XYZ 27 means. So,
when you look at what Brandon's doing, did Brandon Boykin start the season in the slot because of performance, because that's where you needed him, or because you didn't have someone else better than him in that slot? It's a specialized position.
All of the above.
Is it possible that he could move out and stay in the outside for the entire season?
Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible that you would sit down at one of these press conferences? Is it possible? That's the only question I'm asking.
I have before.
Then that's a yes. So we're on the same page. No, is it possible? Yeah. It is possible, and it just depends on how we are. You know, we were put in a situation last week where Fletch got hurt, you know, and now our cornerback depth isn't what we probably want it to be right now. So, yeah, it's possible. Is that the ideal world? The ideal world is that Kerry and Fletch play the entire year for us and Brandon plays slot for us. Is that the reality in the NFL? I don't know about that.
Why would that be ideal if Brandon, let's say, is better than him?
I didn't say he was better than him. You're saying he's better than him.
I didn't say he was either. I said if he's better than him.
What did you say, though?
I said ideally it would be Kerry and Brandon.
This is just, for me, just an off-the-subject why hypotheticals never work. You know what I mean? Right now, Fletch is starting a corner, Kerry's starting a corner, and Brandon is our nickel. I hope they play great and get 17 interceptions, every single one of them.
When you look at what Andy's doing in Kansas City, you obviously saw what he did here. You look at the tape of the guys here. How much has he changed in that? How much has he kind of stayed the same when he...
He's added the pistol formation. You know, I think he brought Chris Alt in from Nevada, is on staff. You know, so they've run in some pistol plays. And I think that's playing to Alex Smith's strengths. I think Alex is a mobile quarterback and, you know, real smart guy. So I think that fits with him. So I think that's probably a little bit different. Some of the passing concepts are similar in terms of what he did here. But I think when you look at him specifically offensively, what they're doing is a little bit more pistol. You know, it's not their entire scope of the offense, but they've added that from that standpoint. And then defensively, they're radically different because, you know, they're running a 3-4 scheme and, you know, Sutt came from the Jets, so they're running that scheme, so that's different. But offensively, I think the one thing that's a little bit different than what he had done in the past is just the pistol stuff, and they ran some zone read stuff against the Cowboys.
How
What has made their defense so effective?
I think they've done a good job of matching their personnel to what they can do. Got an outstanding nose guard who's really playing very, very well right now. Two real good outside linebackers in Ali and Houston. They were a 3-4 team last year, and I think, you know, they stayed with that. But they've got some personnel on that side. Eric Berry, Brandon Flowers, Poe, Houston, Ali, Jackson. There's some talent on the defensive side of the ball. And Sutt is a really, really good defensive coach, and he's putting those guys in positions to make plays.
Brandon Hughes, is he going to be able to practice?
No.
Is he looking unlikely at this point?
Or? I won't get to there, but I know he's not going today. So.
You have concerns about depth at that spot?
Yeah, we've had concerns since we got here with depth at the cornerback spot. So, you know, that's a big concern for us overall. And, you know, didn't have Brandon or in the first game, didn't have Fletch in the last game, and now Brandon's out again today. So
maybe
he's coming along. You know, we picked him up after the cut down to 53, so I know those guys are working very hard with him, and Sean's working very hard himself, so, you know, we're hoping we get a chance to get him acclimated, but it's also not fair to him to throw him out in the field if he doesn't truly understand what we're doing and then expect him to make a play on a Thursday night or a Sunday and just turn around and say, well, you know, we hadn't had a chance to cover that, but, you know, Sean's coming, and we hope we get a chance to get him involved here pretty soon.
Chip, I know you said that after Vinny Curry.
It seems that Sean's playing in the middle of the field more than he did in the past. What convinced you he could play that type of playing in the middle of the field more than he has in the past? What convinced you he could be that type of receiver?
Again, I don't know what was asked of him in the past, but, you know, the one thing I know about him is that he's really fast, he catches the ball extremely well, and he's a very difficult matchup. So as a coach, you know, he's extremely – it's a lot of fun to have a guy like that on your team when you're trying to figure out different ways to get him the football, because he can affect the outcome of a game on the offensive side of the ball because he's such a dynamic player. So didn't really spend a lot of time on how he was used in the past. Know what physical skill set he's had since we got a chance here to start working with him. And really excited about what he's done in the first two games and then how do we build upon that. So.
Does it have any meaning to you?
What's that?
With Andy coming in on Thursday, does it hold any meaning for you?
Yeah, I have great respect for Andy. I mean, he was a head coach here for 14 years. And if you're a coach in the NFL, anybody that coaches at one spot for 14 years, you know, you kind of look to them and say, holy smokes. And then you just walk down these hallways and look at the championships that were won here, the division championships, conference championships, and what he's done. And he's had a huge impact on this organization. I got a ton of respect for him. There's not a lot of guys out there in this profession that, you know, have carried themselves from a coaching standpoint when you get a chance to be around them like Andy Reid. And I got all the respect in the world with him. So it's exciting to get a chance to go compete against him, and should be a lot of fun.
Know what you know about Andy, and, you know, and you've mentioned all the wins and all that stuff, the championships, and knowing what you know about Philadelphia and the area, would you expect him to get a pretty good ovation when he gets the field?
I don't know any of that stuff.
What's keeping Vinnie Curry off the field at this point, and do you see that changing going forward?
Yeah, everybody's competing for positions on this team, and I think that's a difficult thing to do when you're cutting from 53 to 46 and who's active, who's deactive. So, you know, it's how we practice during the week. How do they fit into the game plan that you're putting together offensively, defensively, and special teams wise to see if we can get a chance to get out there and compete in that 46.
Chip,